Welcome to this week's edition of Exporting Malta, where I, Monique Chambers, am joined by businesses that have sold their product and services overseas. Welcome to this week's Exporting Malta with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest is again David Schwerer from the Malta Chamber of Commerce, Enterprise and Industry. We've got a second interview with you because actually the last one we were just getting going and we had to cut. So I've got you back in to talk about some of the stuff that you guys are doing for helping companies to export in Malta and obviously just to succeed generally. So tell me what you're up to.
Thank you for inviting me back. I was looking forward to the second and maybe some more, so I'm not at all disappointed, very happy about this. What have we been up to? Well, lots of things are happening in Malta around the world at the moment. Not sure where to start, but certainly we are, of course, addressing each and every aspect of the effect on business and the quality of life of the Maltese community, the Maltese population. That is something which is central to the vision of the Chamber. But also, as we started to talk about the other day, is the putting together of an economic vision for the country that will see us through in a rather robust manner and rather positive manner in the next couple of years, 2020-2025. So we're looking at a five-year plan as a contribution to people that have nothing to do with politics, have nothing to do with the economy, but actually are people who are well-versed with what's happening in the world, well-understanding and sensitive what's coming on to us, and therefore wanting to pave the way on what it is that we should be doing to get to the next step in our economic and quality of life evolution.
So this evolution, this vision that you have all put together, that takes in account also recent events, because some of the stuff that's happened, obviously coronavirus, nobody saw it coming.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know, we sort of see James Bond films and, you know, the worst, but it never actually gets released. This has happened. This vision will account for things like this? Well, it will be able to take us past?
Well, definitely. I mean, coronavirus is an epidemic that has hit the world. It's really not as devastating as one would think. Clearly, there are some susceptible parts of our society, especially the elderly people and people with chronic diseases that, of course, need to be protected. That's where the symptoms are. There are many other diseases that, of course, affect these vulnerable parts of our society. But in reality, like any other virus, our bodies are structured and mechanized and designed in a way to develop protective mechanisms.
Yes.
And we'll get over this. The faster we do that and the more intelligent we're able to do this and the advantages we can actually take as a country with strength that is able to take benefit from a negative experience is what we're looking at.
And things like, do you help your members maybe with a strategy to be able to get their staff to be able to work from home or work remotely?
Absolutely.
Or all of that, so
Absolutely.
That we can just business as usual, sort
so
of.
So we have actually formulated, designed and incentivized our members to take all action, including we have negotiated financial packages and support to engage people to understand there are options to this, there are protective mechanisms to this, which are beyond what the health authorities are suggesting, in ensuring that we're able to protect ourselves for as long as we can.
Fantastic.
Until the jabs are in place.
Okay.
So that which includes, of course, working from home and making sure that all the protective actions and activities that one can carry out within one's workplace are actually in force, disciplined and actioned upon.
So it's not just, you know, people aren't alone, even if they're a sort of small business, if they're members of the chamber.
Yeah, we've also negotiated with the banks to support businesses to ensure that we're able to weather the storm economically by allowing people to look at how their loans are being serviced, about what fees and payments are due to banks and that, to ensure that the cash flow shortcoming, if you like, of this coronavirus incident is managed in the best of ways so that we're able to come out of this and running on 2 feet and as strong as we were before, if not stronger.
Fantastic. So tell us a bit more about this vision. Where did you start?
Okay, so this is the second version, really. The first version, the first economic vision that the Chamber put together was in 2014.
Okay.
That was a six-year vision in 2020. And again, it looked primarily at the the envisioning, the dream, if you like, of what it is that we wanted to see in our country, to be able to take the economy of our country up to the next step. There was a lot that needed to be done. Mm-hmm. In 2014. We're just coming out from a world crisis, and a lot needed to be done to address the shortcomings of what had happened in the previous years, and of course with the intention to try and come out strongly and achieve whatever it was, it could have been achievable. Actually, okay. We know that the government at the time took our economic vision very seriously. I would dare say that the economic success of our country, as experienced in the last couple of years, has been a result, partly a result, of the recommendations and the suggestions that the Chamber of Commerce put forward in 2013-14. Here we are in 2020, mm-hmm. So early last year, around about the middle of last year, Chamber of Commerce put together 28 of the top CEOs, managing directors and chairpersons in Malta, male and female, young and older, coming together with what they thought the country should be looking at in the next step. So away from politicians and away from economists, we're looking at what it is we want to see our country look like in 5 years' time, come back and identify shortcomings, identify strengths, opportunities, but also weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And therefore, over a period of about 6 to 9 months, actually it took a bit slightly longer, but probably about 9 months, we came together with this coordinated document, which is signed by these 28 top executives in our country, and telling everybody, now away from it all, this is how we see it, this is what we think needs to be done, and here we are presenting it to the authorities, presenting it to our members, and let's measure ourselves. KPIs in business are very important.
Yes.
Let's measure and see whether we're able to achieve those targets within the specified amount of time.
So what sorts of things are within this vision? What areas have you looked at?
Okay. So the title of the vision is called Smart Sustainable Island.
Mm-hmm.
So of course these three words mean a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Island, because we are an island, but not only that, but we are an island in the middle of the Mediterranean, so any ideas, mm-hmm. any opportunities, any vision that we should have need to be related to the region that we are dealing with. These are not initiatives that one would expect to take in any other country naturally, because these are not exportable.
Uh-huh.
They are very particular to the needs of that particular country that we're looking at, so the island part is very important. Smart, because we, of course, want to be smart in the way we look at things.
Yeah.
We don't want to be followers, we want to be leaders, we want to see what's coming our way and prepare ourselves for that. Smart as well, because we consider technology to be an essential part of whatever it is that we do, so therefore investment in and the embracement of what technology can do to take us to the next level is also very important. We have been very successful in being the very first to be at the top end of internet pretty much across the whole, the whole country,
yeah.
and having everybody expect 4G or 3G whenever it was at the time, and 2G and 1G at one stage, and Edge, I remember.
yes, I remember.
we had all this in our mobile mm-hmm. phone pretty much across the four corners of our island, and that is one of the reasons for the success that we've experienced. There's the next step. There's the 5G, and there's all the other technology, the 3D printing, the quantum physics, and AI that will certainly shape mm-hmm. the future. Sustainable, because this cannot happen unless we are respectful of our environment, we're respectful of our resources, of course we're respectful of the fact that any economic development needs to take care of the health, the quality of the health of our people,
yeah.
the quality of life, the wellness of our inhabitants, of course our workers, the people contributing to this economy in the first place. So certainly for the first time in the history of a vision by any Chamber of Commerce probably around the world, here is a Chamber of Commerce in Malta drafted by these 28 talented individuals, saying that for the economy to move to the next step, it's not only about the industries we're able to attract and the bottom line profits we're able to make and therefore the wealth we're able to generate, mm-hmm. but we're also talking about the social wealth, okay, which refers to health, education, governance, all those things that in today's world are sine qua non or connected with any economic expected development. So this is what the document is really centered on. And then, of course, there are 59 recommendations based on 8 pillars
mm-hmm.
that detail what it is that we expect to be doing in some detail with some KPIs.
So it's quite a big responsibility to carry, actually, when you yeah. think about it, because mm-hmm. you know,
absolutely.
You're not just talking to CEOs, you're not just talking to governments, you're expecting obviously every employee within those companies to uphold these principles.
Absolutely, to the extent that whilst, again, probably many organizations, many people would expect the Chamber to just come up with a document like we did, which can be downloaded from our website, by the way, free of charge, so anybody can download and review and connect with us on their thoughts and processes and reactions to it.
Okay.
But we are, yes, we have presented this to the government, to the leader of the opposition, to the Archbishop, to the President, and to our members, anyone who has an interest in the development of our country. And we didn't stop there. We said, look, this is how we see it. Hopefully you will endorse it, which it has been endorsed pretty much by everybody. But here we are wanting to roll up our sleeves and get things done. So our Chamber of Commerce is putting together like-minded people in what we call horizontal thematic committees, focus groups, that will focus on each and every one of those 59 recommendations, work hard on them, and come up with tangible, now, realistic actions, some of them on governance level, some of them on regulatory level, some of them on educational principles, some of them have to do with what it is that, on governance level, what it is that we want to see to ensure that what we achieve is sustainable also from a governance perspective, especially after the experiences we have been through in the latter end of last year. We would wish never to go through that again. And we will be contributing, therefore, with the manner, the detail with which we're able to achieve that. With KPIs. So we're telling telling government and telling the people out there that we want to measure ourselves, not them or the others, but ourselves all together as one nation. If we really believe this is what we want to achieve, let's work together and let's measure ourselves. And if we're successful, let's celebrate that. If we're late or we've, you know, ignored, then we'll have to realize that there's a shortcoming and we'll have to work on that collectively.
I was going to say, there's enough of you working on it that there's going to be some responsibility within those groups anyway. So,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, and this isn't partisan. This is just people, sensible people wanting, you know, a sensible future.
If we want to be credible, we want to steer away from politics, we want to be as apartisan as possible, we have the best people working on these thematic committees, we have to have the best ideas coming on stream, and we have to hear the very best in the world that's able to help us achieve our objectives.
So if you've got, I'm guessing, so everybody's a member that's on this committee, do you have just local companies or are there also
international companies. Absolutely. So, of course, the people contributing to this document in the first place are generally those organizations that have grown in our country to a large extent, most of them internationalized, are sitting in stock exchanges in Malta and away, and have and really can read the signs of the times because they're truly connected with what's happening across the world. That is what has happened in the draft of the document. In the thematic committees that have reshaped the way the Chamber of Commerce does its business, of course we will have many more members because each and every one of these 59 needs a team of people, experts in their field, with passion. I have been here at the university to discuss and present this document to the university students. The passion, the eagerness, and the ambition of the university students has a lot to do with the successful potential execution of these recommendations.
Yeah.
Gone are the times when we think that the experienced and the people who have been there, done it, are the best people to dream best and to achieve targets. Those people, those mentors, those coaches are required, but we also need the energy, the motivation, the questioning, the thinking outside the box, the researched minds to contribute to this. So I have invited all the students, including KSU, here at the University of Malta, to contribute towards the development, the detailed development of the economic vision for the country.
Because exactly what we don't want is our students all leaving Malta to find, you know, a better place to live when this should be the best place
there
is to live.
Absolutely, Monique, yeah.
So, and there was another thing I was thinking about education. You said you've got various pillars that people are working towards. Not necessarily people that work in education are the best people to tell you what education is required. It's going to be the people who are running these businesses
are going to
tell you what kind of staff they need today, tomorrow.
How you cannot be more correct, and you cannot be highlighting one of the major issues that the Chamber of Commerce has addressed, which is exactly what he has just said. So, as I said, out of these 28 CEOs, we had a number of subject matters that's on the document, and everybody sort of contributed from their position of knowledge, strength, and experience. However, if there was one subject that is clearly in this document, but I can declare to have been a common ground by all of the 28 CEOs, executives, which, by the way, include the rector of the university as a contributor to this document, and also the principal of MCAST have contributed to this document too. I can say that if there was one subject matter that was of serious concern to all of the 28 contributors to this document is the unpreparedness or the lack of preparedness that we have in preparing our youngsters, not at necessarily at university or at MCAS, but also before primary secondary school, to prepare our students for the industry of today, even worse, of tomorrow. I mean, I have to declare, and we have to realize here, that most of the kids in our primary schools are being prepared, are being educated for an industry that does not exist today, because industry is evolving in a never fast manner. So what we really need in the environment of artificial intelligence is the ability to have our brains, our minds, our kids thinking outside the box, being creative, being able to connect matters together in the most flexible of manners, because that is what will make them true and strong employees, entrepreneurs, leaders of the future. Teaching them the standard subjects that you and I probably were taught when we were at school some years ago, is not enough. That needs to be there, but it needs to be connected in a manner that relates to the industry requirements of the future. So I have been convinced now by all the players that the Chamber of Commerce and the business community in general, mind you, but the Chamber of Commerce needs to take a leading role in the drafting of the curricula that will be teaching or will be driving or directing and coaching and guiding our youngsters from earlier. And that's what we'll be doing.
And absolutely, you know, soft skills need to be involved,
absolutely.
Being able to work with other people.
Teamwork.
Although we talk about remote working because of, you know, recent situations, we actually do need to be able to actually probably work more as a team if you're working from home, because you need to be able to trust each other to be doing something without anyone looking over your shoulder.
But all the soft skills, the marketing, the sales skills, the speaking, the standing up to be able to speak and sell a product, that's what the industry of the future is going to look like.
Yeah.
Industry 4, anything to do with services, with retail, is all about, first of all, the adoption of AI. Mm-hmm. AI is not just the repetition of
sexy
tools.
Stuff.
It is exactly,
amazing.
But also is about having, you know, algorithms that learn from, you know, our own mistakes, its own mistakes, in a manner which is faster, more intelligent, therefore more successful than a normal human being would do, which means that human beings need to drive into a different driving seat in the development of our economy, and that probably mostly has to do with creativity, with innovation, flexibility, and adaptability, and therefore the manner with which we coach our youngsters to be able to do that robustly is very important at this point.
And do you see industries springing up in this report? Did you find anything new? Because obviously we always talk about retail, we always talk about finance, and we talk about tourism as our main industries. Are there things that actually we should be paying attention to and getting our kids and our grandkids to start looking at?
So this is a matter which is evolving every day, to the extent that whatever it is we say today is probably outdated tomorrow.
Okay.
So one of the thematics that the Chamber of Commerce has put together, and I'll come back to your question, is one called Think Tank.
Right.
We don't even have a name for it, so we call it a think tank. Because we don't know what is the subject matter that we will be dealing with in this think tank. So, because this is an ever-evolving matter which we need to deal with. One thing for sure is what we know today is that whilst we need, first of all, to move away from all those industries that would tarnish our reputation, we've had quite a few of those in the last couple of years, and we need to recognize that although some of them did contribute successfully to our economy from a monetary perspective, actually tarnished our reputation and potentially our quality of life.
Yeah.
So when we talk about sustainability, we need to talk about those industries that are able to grow our businesses in a manner that are able to stay with us and grow with us and become better, you know, with us over the next many, many years, and not just over one or two
and
years.
And not kill other industries in their wake.
And not kill other industries in their wake, exactly. So that's number one. The second is, of course, we talk about artificial intelligence. I don't think we have a choice. Frankly, we have here at the University of Malta a department, a faculty that focuses on that. The Chamber of Commerce is very close to that faculty because we want to make sure that our industry is AI ready, not only in the preparedness, in the investment, and the appreciation of the value of that industry, but also in the support of the preparedness in the educational side to ensure that we have the right people prepared for that industry. So artificial intelligence is definitely there. But of course, we can have other sexy words, such as quantum physics. We talk about
3D
printing. We talk because these are the sciences,
and
we have them here at university. So University of Malta is preparing our individuals for a subject in an academic fashion, not yet necessarily connected with industry. per se. But when we where we see the rest of the industry, life sciences is another area of, as you know, we have a fully fledged institution here, very close to the university, that discusses life sciences and the next steps in medicine, and the next steps in pharmacology, and the next steps of what our mobile phones will be doing to diagnose anything that we have, which needs to be looked at by a specialized individual anywhere around the world. So our mobile phones, and whatever technology will come after the phone, but at the moment is the phone we can talk about, is what will probably move people away from hospitals, will reduce the cost of the way our hospitals will be run, and our individuals will be getting first top-end medical care through technology that sits with connectivity, with of course the Internet of Things, but more important, technology that is connected with our appliances at home. So we'll be looking, and this is not going to happen in 10 years' time, Monique. This we expect to happen in the next 3 to 5 years. It's already written down in this document. It's already happening in some parts of the world that have seen this come from afar and have prepared themselves on the front edge of the development of their economy as we speak today. So we're actually at the moment lagging behind. We're wanting to catch up.
So it's one of the things you're able to offer as well. So you're talking to educators to be able to prepare kids of the future, or the adults of the future, should I say. But what about workforces that exist today? Do they just get left behind, or is the workforce today also got to get some support?
No, of course, that's the challenge. So the faster we're able to identify where it is we want to go, not only do we therefore prepare our youngsters and the primary school, you know, chairs at school, primary children at the age of 4 up to 10, and then secondary 10 up to 15, and then potentially post-secondary after that, to prepare for the industries of the future. But if we really know where we're going, then we start preparing for the training and the movement of our current workforce from one industry into another industry or another form of economic activity. So as long as our objectives are clear, as long as our targets are well known, and as long as our politicians, our regulators, our policymakers do not shift the goalpost every 5 years or so, allow me to say, then if we're clear, then we all know where we're heading. And therefore, every decision being taken by a mother and a father with their kids when they're young, by the guidance teacher when the kids become older enough to start thinking of which specialization to take, the courses designed by the university and the courses designed by all the other education institutions, including the prioritization of the postgraduates, postgraduate education that we all focus on, will be driven by an objective which is clear to all. And if we do that, then not only will we be sustainable, but we'll be using our resources, not only physical, but also human, in the best possible manner.
And then, again, once those courses are identified, people already in the workforce can benefit from them, part-time courses, if they so wish to do so.
Absolutely. It's already happening now. I mean, university and MCAST and all these institutions already organized courses that happen after the time, after the period
working
of work
day,
to do this. The only thing that I think we're missing in this country, and that's what this document is trying to do, is to focus and say, if there are any courses that will be designed in a manner, they are designed not because somebody had the great idea of doing a great course, which is great, after all, education is never bad, but rather, if it were focused on something that achieves economic growth in the country and personal wealth and therefore well-being, individual wealth, personal well-being, then we are singing success.
So what else is in this report that we should be seeking out?
Okay, so the report deals with 59 recommendations.
Okay.
I know that in the media, media picked up public transportation.
Yes.
So we asked government to reconsider and possibly steer away from pressures that will connect Malta to Gozo in an unsustainable manner with a tunnel that we consider to be unfeasible, let alone realistic to implement.
And scary.
And scary, I mean, if you had to speak to the people that live in Manikat and live in Nadur, these are the areas that the tunnel will connect to. The tunnel is an invisible tunnel. But of course, the visibility of the outlets from one side to the other, Manikat on one side and Nadur on the other, that's scary. And people have not realized how bad that is. And after all, I think we also need to have a vision of what it is we want to see Gozo to be and what we want to see Malta to look like.
Okay.
Secondly, of course, is we have endorse the vision of needing to study a public mm-hmm. transportation system that is truly efficient and works. We know that the bus, you know, sort of has worked to some extent, but has limits. We also have lack of faith, lack of trust in the system. We need to keep pushing that, but we need to look at the longer term review. Mm-hmm. So yes, there has been a lot of work that has happened with respect to the underground transportation system, and we think that should be looked at because our geology allows for that. Uh-huh. Shared mobility. We, of course, like the fact that cars are taken away from the streets mm-hmm. and people share transport. So, of course, there are many entrepreneurs in Malta, most of them very young entrepreneurs, that have come with solutions that get people to consider not even owning a car and driving cars or sharing cars with others. Waste management. A lot of problems that we have today with the municipal waste, with the construction waste that has tarnished our country and mm-hmm. is now probably going to cost us a bomb, not only with the European Union that will fine us monies for this, but also for us to find solutions, and so on and so forth. The thematic committees that the Chamber of Commerce is putting together, we'll be looking at real estate. Of course, real estate. We all know what we have been through in the last couple of weeks.
That affects everybody, even if you only own one property.
Absolutely.
It affects you because somebody else owns 10 next door to you.
I think the credibility of this industry is down in the in the lowest ranks we could potentially consider it to be. It's a pity. I come from this industry myself. I'm really unhappy that this has happened. Chamber of Commerce has put together already a thematic committee with real resources to be able to try and get us out of this mess in a credible manner. And this we do, in this particular case, not by reinventing the wheel, but really by looking at best practices in Europe and around the world and importing whatever is adaptable to Malta and implementing those solutions that will find hopefully be calling a spade, you know, point fingers at whatever doesn't work and celebrate what it is that could potentially work.
So this is not just about business doing business. This is actually about Malta doing business for all of its residents.
The document we issued before the economic vision is one of good governance, and good governance is today part of ESG, is what we used to call the corporate social responsibility before.
Okay.
Actually, when we talk about business, ESG, environmental, social and governance, is what it is that our businesses should be focused on. So when we talk about any industry, AI, real estate, transport, whatever it is mm-hmm. we talk about, it needs to have a dose of serious good governance. The document we issued at the beginning of this year, after what happened at the letter end of last year, was a preamble, if you like, to the manner with which we wish to conduct our business if we truly want to be smart and sustainable.
And recognized and respected overseas.
Absolutely, overseas and even locally. Our reputation is in tatters, we all know this, so we are working very hard to try and get back on the road in a credible manner.
Well, we're all on board with you. Thank you very much, David Schwireb from the Malta Chamber of Commerce, Enterprise and Industry. Thank you for listening to this week's edition of Exporting Malta, produced by me, Monique Chambers, with technical assistance from Carmelo Grech and Redent Abdillah. This show is aired every Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. and repeated on Fridays at 7:30 p.m. here on Campus FM.